It's time to head out on the front porch on KFRM. Grab your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation on the front porch.
Today on the front porch, it's the pride of Wildcat Land. We are joined by Dr. Frank Trace, the director of the K-State Marching Band and the program at Kansas State University. If you're a Wildcat fan, you know and love what Dr. Frank Trace has done and what K-State Marching Band and that program is all about. We really appreciate you taking time to join us, Frank.
Well, Rocky, it's my pleasure. You're being kind, and it's just, it still beats working for a living what I do. So
just, yeah, for sure. Well, I know there's a lot of work that goes into what you guys do, and we're going to dig into that in a little bit. For our listeners who maybe don't know you or don't know your background, and even if they know who you are, start us out by talking about growing up in Cleveland. Is that where you grew up?
I grew up in Cleveland. I have the scars to prove it. So, you know, yeah. I teach at Kansas State. I've been here since 93. I'm going to finish my 29th year here right now. And so I came here 30 years ago. I'm not a Kansan, but I'm a Kansan now because I've lived here longer than any place I've lived.
Right.
And so it's the roots are here now. So it's a good place. It's a great place to live and raise a family. But I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. Big Catholic Polish Cleveland, Ohio steelworker family, you know, blue collar all the way. Only kid out of six that went to college. You know, as my brother says all the time, you've escaped Cleveland, Ohio. But I love Cleveland. I'm still a Browns fan, although we haven't cheered for decades. And Indians, now Guardians fan. Of course, Cavaliers, LeBron won us a
there
championship.
Go, yeah.
So we're good for a lifetime. We've got one. But so I grew up there, and I went to the Ohio State University. I was there when Woody Hayes was 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and
right.
Archie Griffin was winning Heisman trophies.
Wow, yeah.
So not many people will know those names, but I was there and in the band. And then after that, I went to University of Wisconsin. I got my master's there, but I also taught elementary and junior high school for a couple of years. So I got my master's. I met my wife. We just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary.
Nice.
And so I came back from Wisconsin and got a high school teaching job in Cleveland, Ohio. I was there for 4 years and then got the bug to wanted to be a teacher of teachers. So then I went back to Ohio State, got my doctorate, was a grad student with the marching band back then. And my first college job was Syracuse University.
Okay.
So I taught at Syracuse for 4 years in the old Dick McPherson days when they were 11-0 and 10-1 and
right, yeah.
Winning bowl games and all that. So, and I stayed there for 4 years, and I get a call from a colleague, a former colleague of mine and friend at Morehead State in Morehead, Kentucky. It's in the hollers of eastern Kentucky.
Okay.
Beautiful part of the country.
Uh-huh.
And they had a great band school. Great. That's where band directors went, and the bands were outstanding. So I went there to be director of bands for 2 years and honestly thought I was going to stay there forever. Then a second year in January, I get a phone call, and then it's from a professor at a place called Kansas State, which, first of all, I had to call my wife and find out if she ever heard of Kansas State. She did, and I said, I haven't.
Huh.
And I said, where's Kansas? And she said, it's right below Nebraska. And I said, where's Nebraska? So, you know, when you're Ohio, it, all that matters is Ohio State and the Buckeyes and things
for
of that
sure.
nature. And what happens west, nobody knows and nobody cares. So make a long story short, I interviewed, got the job, came here, and I thought I'd stay a year, maybe 2 years, and go back to Ohio and be close to family. And so almost three decades later, I'm still here at Kansas State, and this is home.
Yeah.
Raised three kids here and enjoyed it, no question.
You came at a magical time at Kansas State University, and I want to get into that in a bit. You've alluded to sports a few times talking about your story getting here. I know you grew up a sports fan.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Big-time Cleveland Indians and Browns, as you mentioned. But tell the story for our listeners of getting in to watch the Cleveland Indians when you were growing up. As you said, they weren't much of a team at that time.
No, it was a different time, a different era. And, you know, growing up in the late 60s, mid-60s, early 70s, this was back when you could ride your bike anywhere downtown. And we used to ride our bikes to a municipal stadium. It was about maybe 12 miles to get into the stadium. And we'd park our bikes. I don't even think we locked them.
Right.
We'd park them outside old municipal stadium in Cleveland, right on the lake. It was a cavernous steel mammoth of a stadium. And we'd wait till about the second or third inning, because by that time, the team was so bad that even the ticket takers would say, heck with it, they'd leave.
Come on in.
So we just walk in and sit anywhere. And they'd announce the attendance as 7,822 or whatever it was. And I'm sitting there with my buddies, and we're looking, okay, let's count. And we would get to like 252 people in there and say, okay, there's got to count the players.
There you
go.
And
we still couldn't figure it out. But we used to go to the games and go outside at the end of the game. And, of course, I'm sure the Indians lost.
Right.
But we got to go to a game, and we got our bikes and rode the 10, 12 miles home.
It was
worked out. It's what you did in Cleveland.
So. It is a different time.
It's a different time. It really was.
A great time to be a part of, for that matter. One real quick note, I mentioned it earlier when we were not on the air that I was named after Rocky Calavito.
Absolutely, The Rock.
And you certainly knew who that name was.
Yeah, and he was a star in Cleveland, of course, but if you're a star in Cleveland, they trade you.
Right, and that did happen.
Yeah, it did.
For sure. As you going through school, what were your, and you love sports, we know that, what were your interests? And obviously music was important to you. How did that become what you became today?
You know, it's no mystery, and it wasn't anything very special. I didn't have a revelation or anything from above that struck me and said, you're going to be a band director at Kansas State. I played football and baseball, and I wrestled in junior high and high school.
Okay.
And I was a drummer. You know, my goal in high school, I was going to be a rock star. You know, it didn't quite work out for me. But I remember, you know, growing up in a blue-collar family, you know, brothers and sisters, you graduated from high school, you got married, you either joined the Marines or you got married and had kids, or you worked in steel mills. And I just, you know, that just didn't appeal to me.
Right.
None of them did.
Yeah.
And so, and I looked at, I saw my high school band director, who was my favorite all-time teacher, and I went up to him one day in seventh grade. I was one of those seventh grade geeks. And I said, hey, how do you get to be a band director, you know? And he told me what I had to do, and I said, I can do this. And I thought about it. Next day I came back. I said, do you get paid to do this? And he said, yes. And I said, I'm in. Because it looks like it's fun. It's not the steel mills. It's not the Ford Motor stamping plant.
Right.
It's, you know, I'm in. So I went to Ohio State and worked my way through and loved it. And if I had to do it all over again, I would do it all over again.
Yeah. Ohio State, was that just, there was no doubt that's where you're going?
Yeah, it's one of the classic band programs.
Right.
And everybody, you know, it's just, when you grow up in Cleveland, when you're born in Ohio, you know, if you're a male back and then, they put a football in the crib, and it was
right.
Scarlet and gray. And you were going to be a football player at Ohio State for Woody Hayes.
Uh-huh.
And so I just wanted to be in the band because it was a great band. And that's I turned down scholarship from a couple other schools and went to Ohio State and didn't get much at all. But that was a dream of mine, is to be in that band.
Did you stay as a drummer?
I stayed as a drummer, yeah.
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 And then other instruments, or that part of your repertoire?
Well, you get a music ed degree, you have to learn to play all the other instruments. And I did, and I taught and I used those for a while. But, you know, if you put a clarinet in front of me now, it would be a sad sight and an awful sound. if you don't use it every day, you just don't you just don't get it. But, I'm a drummer, I'll admit it, in every way.
Did you you wanted to be a rock star? Conversation earlier. You are a rock star, just in a different venue at Kansas State. But did you ever have a band?
I did. Everybody in Cleveland at that time, Cleveland was a big rock and roll town when I was growing up. Big rock and roll town, and everybody had a rock band. And, you know, we were in rock bands all the time in the garage until we got thrown out and then went to somebody else's house and got thrown out of there and so on and so forth.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was going to be a rock star, and I thought I was a good jazz drummer, too. And I went to Ohio State, and I remember signing up for the auditions to play in one of their jazz ensembles. They had, like, six, and it was a really high-class, top-of-the-notch jazz program.
Uh-huh.
And I auditioned, and the drummer that went in before me, his name is Jimmy Rupp.
Okay.
And Jimmy Rupp and I ended up being good friends because we were in bands together at Ohio State. But to give you an idea of his talents, when he graduated from college, he went on the road with Maynard Ferguson.
Oh, wow.
And those of us that are our age and silvered hair know what Maynard Ferguson, that band is. You have to be a monster drummer.
Huh.
Well, I heard standing outside the room, listening to Jimmy play, and I just turned around and left. I didn't even audition because there's no way.
Huh.
So I had a little come to Jesus discussion with myself and decided that this rock star, jazz star thing's not going to happen.
It's just not going to happen. Yeah.
So, and I always wanted to be a teacher, so I'm there.
Yeah. You wanted to be a teacher. You decided that in seventh grade.
Yeah.
Did you, when you got into the world of education to learn to be this, did you have any idea what path you were going to take? Did you have a goal in mind? You gave us your path, but what was the plan?
Yeah, well, the plan was at that time when I wanted to be a teacher, I just wanted to be a junior high band director in Columbus, Ohio.
Because that's who your band director was.
Yeah, and that's what he did. But at that time in the mid-70s, the late-70s, the oil crisis, all that sort of stuff, there were no jobs anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up moving to Wisconsin, getting a master's degree, and then working part-time in junior high and elementary schools. And then I got the high school teaching gig. And every time that I got a gig, I wondered what it was like at the next level. You know, so when I got the junior high gig and I went back to Cleveland, said high school, said, this is it. I could stay in Cleveland. Family's there. You know, it's home, the whole bit.
Sure.
And then by the third year, I started thinking, I wonder what it's like to teach teachers to be teachers, you know? And so I went back to Ohio State, and then my goal there was just to be a marching band director, not the director of bands. I'm director of bands at Kansas State, and it's a different situation because in every other major institution, there's a director of bands who does the top concert ensembles and some other classes but doesn't do athletic bands. At Kansas State, it's combined the way I wanted to do it with I did the top ensemble and all that, but I also do the marching band.
Right.
It's a big recruiter for us. It's where our budget comes from, and I like it.
Yeah.
You know, they're the younger folks, the assistants and the grad students that come in, you know, they can write better drill than I can. They understand it more, but there's some things I can do as the director of the marching band that they can't yet.
Right.
They will.
Yeah.
But they
yeah.
can't right now. So every time I got to a position, I was really happy with it. Then I started to think what it would be like to, instead of being the assistant coach, to be the coach.
Right.
And then from the coach to the general manager and the general manager to the owner. So, you know, I'm not sure where it's going to end, but we're still moving. So
yeah, that's great. Our guest today on the front porch is Dr. Frank Trace, director of bands at Kansas State University. We're going to talk more on the front porch. Back on the front porch today, joined by Dr. Frank Trace, who is the director of bands at Kansas State University, the pride of Wildcat Land. I was visiting with you briefly. Daniela Thrasher, who is a band director at CCCHS in Clay Center, invited me to join you guys for lunch. And it was the first time I've got to meet you. I've seen you so many times, but I'm just a face in the
usually
crowd.
Usually in the back, too.
Yeah,
the
right.
Back of my
very
head,
true.
Right?
Very
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
But we were talking about being at Kansas State and how much a part the band is of events. How many different types of bands, ensembles, events? Give us a little look. I think it's more widespread than I probably knew, and I knew something about it.
Yeah, it's pretty widespread. It's diverse. It's eclectic. It serves a lot of purposes. You know, band is band. It's making music. It's kids that want to do this. They want to work hard. And whatever band that is, I'm in for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have 7 concert ensembles, which includes wind ensembles and concert bands. You know, the top group is called the wind ensemble, which is the one I conduct. And most of those are grad students and music majors. So it's a very good band. And it keeps going down to every band has an ensemble that fits the degree of the talent that the student has, which is
right.
good.
Yeah.
We have a ton of athletic bands. You know, the marching band's 400 strong. We have 2 basketball bands that split the time between men and women. They're called cat bands. We have a volleyball band that plays at volleyball, and that started in, I think, when Max Urich athletic director. He called and said, hey, could we do a volleyball band? So he, you know, we give him scholarships and a whole bit, and we do the volleyball, and that's a lot of fun. And then,
and I'll just interrupt real quickly. For a while, I was able to do the PA for the volleyball,
mm-hmm.
and to be that interactive with the band more so than just going to a football game and appreciating what's going on and getting the energy. They're fun. I mean,
they have fun.
They're fun.
They're college kids, and I mean this with all the love and respect I could muster. It's stupid college kid fun.
It is.
And we need more of that in the world. That's why
Amen.
I'm still doing this, you know?
The guy standing with the shoe yelling, it's a shoe. I mean, it made me laugh.
I
didn't either, but it made me laugh.
It makes you laugh, and everybody wonders. And every once in a while when I ask them what this stuff means, they'll kind of shrug and giggle or say it's best you don't know.
That's fair enough,
yeah.
Probably.
But there's also one of my favorite things here is the pub crawl bands.
Yes, yes.
We now have three of those.
Wow.
And they hit all the bars and restaurants in Manhattan. There's over 40 places that we go to on a Friday night before home football game. It is a very unique thing to the Little Apple and to Manhattan, which screams college football and college band and college kid.
Without a doubt.
And this happened by accident. I don't remember the year what it was, but we lost a football game or two in a row that we were supposed to win in the early 90s, and I think we were playing Tex or somebody that Saturday. It was Friday at a band rehearsal, and the band was down. The community was down. The kids were down. I couldn't get them pumped. So I got them around after the end of the rehearsal. I said, you know, I revert back to my college days. If this was me and I was in this band, I wouldn't tell the directors and I wouldn't ask the directors, but I'd get myself a pep band and I'd run down to Aggieville and stand in the middle of the street and play Wabash and a fight song and then run away. And they all cheered and laughed. And I kind of thought they would do
this. They might go do that.
Well, the whole band went.
Oh, wow.
And sirens are going off because traffic was blocked. And all of a sudden, you know, I get a call from the local police and saying, you can't do that. You need a parade permit. And I said, sorry, it was just a whim and I didn't think they'd do it. And they laughed. They know me.
Right.
Now a lot of cops are ex-band members. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
But so right after that very night, I started getting phone calls from establishments in Aggieville. I want to know if a pep band could come in. So the very next week, we send pep band to a couple bars. A couple turned into six turned into 12, 12 turned into 20, and so on and so forth. So now that we have auditions for those pub crawl bands,
wow.
And there's 20 kids in each one, including Classic Cats and cheerleaders, and Willie goes with one of them. But we play in every place from Colbert Hills to the Walmart area with all those restaurants,
yeah.
To Points Avenue. To Aggieville, and there's three bands starting at, this is a Friday football schedule. This is incredible. We rehearse from 3:30 to 5:30. Most of the band will stick around afterwards, polish instruments, clean instruments, load the truck to go to Bill Snyder Family Stadium. But the pub crawl bands meet, all three of them, get in the cars and go wherever they have to go from about 6:30 to 9 o'clock.
Huh.
They each get $10 scholarship to do each one. They get a T-shirt, but the best part is they get fed real food. It's not band food.
No,
it's band food for us. It comes in the box. You unwrap it, and you sit on a curb next to a bus.
Uh-huh.
That's band food.
Uh-huh.
But this is the restaurants will supply a meal. You know, you eat a fork and a knife to eat it, and that's like big time for band kids. So,
great.
You know, college kid will do anything for money and food.
And food, yeah.
And this serves both purposes. They used to have a great restaurant, and we miss it dearly, is Harry's.
Oh, sure.
And I mean, really nice restaurant, suit and tie, and mm-hmm. that sort. And we'd go in there and play Wabash, and the they're spread out, and trombone spits flying from into your whatever it is, and people are
and
cheering,
they're loving it. Yeah,
and loving it. And the best part about that is usually the ADs and some of the administrators from the opposing team were in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just floored.
Uh-huh.
And I'd get calls on Monday from the band director buddy at that school. I said, what did you do, man? They want us to do this now, you know?
Isn't that great?
And I said, well, it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's just really fun.
And it truly is. The band makes events go to the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. You're going to cheer for the football team or the basketball team, whatever the case may be. But there's something about the energy that the band provides. It just takes it to a different level. And it's the same thing when you're in Aggieville on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And this pub band walks in and all of a sudden the entire establishment is keyed in.
Yeah.
And they leave and the energy is still high.
We have to post the schedule on our website the day before because we'll get calls saying we want to take our family to dinner. We're going to this restaurant. What time is the band coming in?
Right.
So we post that stuff, and we have to stay close to the schedule because somebody will be mad.
Yeah.
But you're right about the atmosphere. It is different at Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in some major stadiums, Ohio Stadium, Michigan Stadium. Just that word Michigan
right.
is hard for me to say as an Ohio State fan.
Exactly.
And in all the other Big Ten stadiums and Big 12, this is different.
Yeah.
This is different here because I think administration-wise, athletic-wise, and student-wise, everybody agrees that the kid in the band and the students at the university are important.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen everywhere.
Yeah.
And this is special. This is unique. Was that the plan? No. I have no idea what the plan was.
Right.
The plan was to survive that Saturday and start Monday and work on the next Saturday.
Right.
But it is. It's unique. It's even football right now and basketball. It's just, I still do it.
Yeah.
You know, as I tell them before we go in on Saturday, say, I'm 18 today. You know, so don't ruin this for me.
That's great.
So as soon as it's over, I mean, that little guy pops up on my shoulder and says, you ain't 18 anymore.
You better go take a break.
And now I have to call events management. They call it the old guy cart to come pick me up to get back out there.
Good.
So, but that's all right.
That's good. Yeah, and even events. I've been to many bowl games over the years, and when the band pops up at it, a pep rally or just in that tailgate atmosphere on the road,
yeah,
it changes things. So,
it's a personality. Cool. It's a personality of the band. It's a personality of the school. Like I said, it's unique.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people all the time, there's a different flavor and an atmosphere here at Kansas State. I can't put a name to it. I can't tell you what it is. You just have to experience. It's different.
Yeah.
And it's student-centered, which is the way it should be everywhere.
Yeah. It isn't. But
it isn't.
It's the way it should be.
It is.
You're right. Yeah. We're going to get another timeout on the front porch coming back to talk more with Dr. Frank Trace. Today on the front porch is Dr. Frank Trace, the band director, director of bands at Kansas State University. And Frank, you came in 1993. You talked about getting this phone call, your wife explaining to you where Kansas and then Nebraska. She eventually made it clear enough where you knew where to go.
Yeah, before internet, I'd look at a map, you know. Yeah.
So you take the position, you arrive in Kansas. What were your first thoughts? Did you have any real idea what you were walking into?
Well, I took the job because it was a Big Eight university.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always wanted to keep moving up, and I thought if you're going to do something, let's do it at the big show. And this was the big show to me. I heard about Manhattan. I heard it was a great place to live, great place to raise a family, and comfortable and safe, and a good community, and a great university. And I thought, well, let's do this. And I didn't plan on sticking around here. I was going to be a year or two and go home. But,
right.
You know, that's the Coach Snyder era, and that's the John Weinfeld era, and the Pat Bosco era, and it goes on and on. And this just doesn't happen everywhere all the time, very often at all. Did I know it was special? No, I had no idea.
Right.
As the years went on and you had time to sit back and look at things and think about things, you started to believe that there's something here.
Mm-hmm.
There's something seriously good here.
Yeah.
And so it you know, we stayed. And we had opportunities to go elsewhere.
I'm sure, yeah.
And university came through and made sure that we had the tools and things that we needed to build the program. You know, John Weinfeld was a visionary. Bill Snyder was just the class act of the coaching world and the best talent in the coaching world, there's mm-hmm. no question. And so people say a lot of times, say, you're lucky you were here when Snyder and Weinfeld were here. And my response is, yeah.
Duh.
So you would have done the same thing.
Exactly.
And so I did. And it worked out really well, I think, for the bands.
You mentioned three names, and Bill Snyder and John Weinfeld and Pat Bosco.
Mm-hmm.
The synergy of those three, and then the elements of a Frank Trace and all the other parts, it's like you look back now and say, well, it had to succeed with that synergy, but at the time, no one knew. At the beginning, it would become what it's become. Is that fair?
That's exactly fair. It's a lot like winning a World Series or a Super Bowl. You don't really know until it's over. You look back and say, this was very special.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking back now and realizing, and it's not this swan song where the good old days and kumbaya, here we go. We're still going forward.
Right.
There's no question. But it was very unique, and it was the right place at the right time with the right people in charge in the right places.
Yeah, yeah.
Which doesn't happen a lot. Yeah.
Very, very true. So a student that is in high school that wants to be a part of K-State band,
mm-hmm.
tell us kind of the process of that. Some that have kids that go or are around the university may know, but what are the steps and what's the process?
Well, first of all, anybody that wants to play can play. You do not have to be a music major. The marching band, for instance, 400 strong, 25% of them are engineering majors. These are busy kids. Architecture
yeah.
majors, busy kids.
Wow.
And music majors, busy kids. You know, busy kids are smart kids. Smart kids are successful kids, right. You know. They're good people. So anybody that wants to be in the band program can. We have kids from Western Kansas and different places have never been in a marching band, never been in a con. We have more kids in the clarinet section than there were their entire high school. And so, you know, you could come in here and make some great friends. So anybody can be in the band. Okay. When the minute that you say, I don't have the talent to be in it, you're wrong. You can develop that. We'll teach you. This is not rocket science. This is band. You know, kids that come in say, I want to be in marching band, but I've never marched before. And my response is, well, I saw you walk in here. Your left foot followed your right, followed by another left, followed by the right. You're on your way. You're on your way. And we'll teach you how to do it our way. And you'll be fine. So anybody can be in the band. We do all the normal things like the online recruiting. You go to our website and click on the prospective member form, fill out some information, and that triggers a letter from me, a newsletter, a phone call, an email, something, let you know that you could do this, and here's how you can do this, tell you about scholarships, so on and so forth, what the audition process is. Another thing that we've found very successful is we have a shadow program for marching band. And so we'll have, I think we max out at 8 per game is all we can get in with the seats and stuff and the management issues we have. But you could come in and shadow us for the day and go through the entire day and live the role of a marching band in the section that you want to be in from the beginning of rehearsal through lunch, through pep talk, through pregame, through halftime, through the game and postgame, and then we're done. And I'll be honest with you, 99 out of 100 kids that do that end up in the band.
Really?
You cannot not have fun.
Huh.
It's just, it's a part. If you want to be in a band, if you want to be in a fun band, this is it. Huh. It's a long day.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know about this with the football days because you see us in the pep rallies and you see us in the parking lot with pep bands and
right.
halftime and pregame and in the stands. In the stands, they never sit down or shut up. And that's why we moved back to Section 26. We're a huge home field advantage.
Amen to that.
Oh, my goodness.
I was so glad to see that.
Yeah, and I could tell you with the visiting coaches and when they start to have defensive meetings on the side, we let them go for about 10 seconds, and then we start. And the minute they start to pay more attention to us, they're paying less attention to what they're supposed to be doing. But with that that game day, not a lot of people know this. If there's an 11 o'clock kickoff, which is most of our least favorite kickoffs.
I can imagine, yeah.
I will meet the staff in the office at 4 a.m.
Wow.
And we gather the electronic equipment. We plan for the day. If the coffee shop is open early enough, we'll meet and we'll have coffee and talk through it with the entire staff. We meet the band at...
How big is your staff?
We have we meet for five graduate students and one assistant director.
Okay.
It's a pretty small staff in comparison with everybody else. It's a very small staff.
Okay.
But we'll then meet at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. If it's 11 o'clock game, there's a 6 a.m. rehearsal for the band.
Wow.
Now, you would think you'd have a lot of kids late and sleeping in and hangovers. I get in the stadium about 5:10. They're all there.
They're there already.
The drummers are drumming. The tubas are screwing around. The football, baritones are playing the trombones and football. The color guard, and those people are playing soccer. They're hacky sack. They're just being kids at 5:15 in the morning.
Wow.
And it's 14 degrees outside.
Wow.
It's incredible.
That is.
So we rehearse from 6 to 7:30 on game days. We have a meeting. We feed them lunch at 8:30.
Oh, wow.
And then we do pep bands in the parking lot, and at about 9:45 we meet, have a little talk and pep rally, get them fired up for the game, march over into the stadium for pregame, do pregame, get in the stands, cheer, do halftime, go back in the stands and cheer, and hopefully play Happy Trails, which if you looked at the bowl game there, and almost 10 and a half minutes left in the fourth quarter, we played it.
That's right.
I wanted to play it earlier, but I thought, okay, I maybe this is not cool. But then I thought, okay,
let's do this thing.
Cool. We're going to do
That's perfect, yeah.
So then we wrap up. We have a little meeting afterwards about, you know, hang your uniforms up, dry your instruments out, swab them out, clean them out. And then we load the truck, take it back to McCain, unload the truck. So leaving my house at 3 o'clock in the morning for an 11 o'clock game, I'll get back into my house, into my home, probably about 7 o'clock that evening.
Wow.
And so the staff.
Yeah.
And it's a long day.
And the students only shave a couple hours off of that.
Well, the students don't go to bed Friday night.
Well,
Because those are pub crawls.
Yeah,
and they're
sure.
college kids. Yeah. And here's another tradition of the marching band is all the sections go to a section breakfast together. So the restaurants, local restaurants, some of them will open up just for that.
Oh, wow.
Just for the band kids to come in. So they'll eat breakfast together, the camaraderie together. You know, and most of them aren't sleeping.
Sure, sure.
They're college kids.
Yeah.
This is
typical,
the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It only gets worse when you're a parent, right?
That's right.
So it's a long day, and it's a fun day. And the first thing, this is interesting, too, the first thing the staff does is I'll get the video from the performance of the day. And, you know, 6 o'clock, 6:30 that evening after the game, I'll plug it into my computer. We put it up on the screen and we're all watching it, you know.
Wow.
Clarinets, for God's sakes, or trumpets or tubas or, you know, yelling at somebody and making some notes and stuff. Not yelling at them, but making notes of what we could fix since the next game.
Yeah.
And it just, it still beats working for a living. There's no question. nobody that day looks at their watch and find out when the shift is over.
Huh.
And we've had some 8-hour football games with lightning delays.
For sure, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
You lose fans, you don't lose the band.
Band's still there.
That's right.
Band's
you don't
there.
Lose the band. Yeah. A week leading up to a game, I know game day you gave us an idea. Mm-hmm. How much goes into the practice the week of?
We rehearse Tuesday, Thursday, and Fridays in a week of a game, 3:30 to about 5:20 or 5:30. And then on Wednesday nights, each section is required to have an individual section by themselves, which is the beauty of the band program and the system is the students elect their leaders. They interview with me or Dr. Wimmer, and we select the right people. We try to take four or five leaders that can get along and not argue most, you know, that sort of stuff. So we get them to be section leaders, and then they run a sectional on Wednesday night by themselves without us around. Which is a good thing, because I tell the kids, I said, you know, no matter what your profession is, most people don't lose their job because they're not good at their profession. They lose their job for two reasons. Number one, they have no people skills. And number two, they can't organize anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what leads to disaster. So in a leadership position, the marching band, which goes beyond the benefit of musicality and what we teach them there, is the ability to deal. If you can deal with, you know, 70 trumpets that are your age or older and you're leading them, if you could handle them and organize them, keep them quiet, keep moving, you got something going.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not easy. That is not easy. And there'll be times where they have trouble and we have to come in and steer them right and sometimes lay the law down to some kids and stuff. And they're kids. They're learning.
For sure, yeah.
But you need some structure, and we provide that. And so the game days are long days. The week is a long day. So, and then Friday night, here we go, pub crawl.
Yeah.
Breakfast and game.
Yeah.
And you add into that, you get into October and November, volleyball.
For sure. Yeah.
Men and women's basketball game. And what many people don't know is like a Friday, this might be a 1 or 2 weekends in October thing, maybe three. And plus November is where we'll have a marching band rehearsal on Friday afternoon. There's a volleyball game Friday night. Pub crawl band goes, football game Saturday afternoon, men's basketball game Saturday night, women's basketball game Sunday afternoon,
right.
And the staff, we're all there for all of those things,
wow.
And a lot of the same kids are, and they do it just because it's part of college, and as I tell them, and I'm real serious about this, this goes away in 4 years,
right.
And then you turn into an adult, and we're not going to go into that, but I can tell you, I said, I promise you don't think so right now. But you're going to miss this.
Yeah.
You're going to miss that 5:15 in the morning, not getting any sleep, and you're tired and hungover or whatever it is.
Right.
And here we are beating you up, making you march up and down the field and sweat and lose your breath and stuff. You're going to miss this.
Yeah.
Yeah. No question.
You mentioned having the students lead. That's just great life business skill.
Oh, yeah.
That you're teaching. The follow-up to that is I've had this conversation with C.L. Snodgrass. I know you know C.L.
Oh, yeah.
Legend in Clay Center.
Great man.
Yes, indeed. But we've talked before about, and even with our music director, vocal directors, to get, you know, basketball coaches, football coaches, have them every day of the week, and they work through things to get the game plan together and to get them to make their plays work. It's every bit that and maybe more for what you're doing with all these different elements of music and instruments, and then to make it sound right to everybody that hears it. It's amazing.
The easiest part of my job is the band. If I rehearse the band and teach the band, that's the easiest part. It's everything else that gets in the way that you have to do. If you look at game days and you watch us at the next home game, you'll see me on the podium, and I'm listening to Dr. Wimmer, who's next to me. He's got headsets on like you do. He's in communication well up on top. Game days, athletic events management, that is an unbelievable monster to organize. Every second from 60 minutes before to 30 minutes after the game is scripted. Now, it doesn't hold water very long because of timeouts and injuries and things.
Right.
There's juggling all over the place, but there's so much to do. You know, he's got a script, and he's telling us when to play, when not to play. And there's times when, you know, the moment demands us to play Wabash or to play something. And we do, and everybody understands. And so we'll step on a commercial, and they'll stop the commercial because it's about, you know, fourth and goal on the one-inch line, and we're on defense. You need us to be playing.
Yeah.
And so we do that. So there's a coordination between them. So you'll see him, and he'll tell me things like 30 seconds, band, you got 45 seconds. And then and he'll count it down 10 seconds. And all of a sudden, at 5 seconds, say, stop, never mind.
Yep.
And then we stop, you know. So, or when there's a commercial set, the band's not going to play, all of a sudden he goes, play, go. So we have to have stuff up. So you'll watch us, and you'll see I have a laminated flip sheet, and I flip through stuff to depending on what we're going to play. There's certain tunes that fit with the offense better. There's certain tunes that fit with the defense better. There's also certain tunes that are annoying and loud to the visiting team. And so we'll call that stuff out in advance and then have to change it. So, you know, not only do Alex and I have to pay attention to the game, the students do as well.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we're surrounded by students. They're having fun. They're having the time of their lives. And I look up there, and these are the times I'm thinking, you know, I remember my Ohio State days.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
I can remember those. I could smell what it was like in the stadium.
Right.
I could feel it.
Right.
It's there. They never go away.
Yeah. Well, you're 18 on those days, too.
You got that right. You got there until it's over. And then every bone in my body said, that's not the case, pal.
We'll follow up just a bit because I've been on the PA in football and basketball and volleyball at times. And that guy sits next to you with the headset on that's talking to you.
Yeah.
And it is crazy sometimes. It's like, no, nope. You know, you guys are about ready to hit that first note, and it's always, nope, we got to do something different.
Yeah, so, exactly. And it's wild. You know, we play lots of times, and we don't see the injury, and the rule is you stop when somebody's injured. And so we kind of filter out and stop. It's not boring.
It's never boring.
I would look forward to a boring moment of a football game.
Yeah, I bet so.
Yeah.
It does not happen, I'm guessing. We're going to come back and talk about some exciting stuff happening with the K-State band and at Kansas State. I want to dig into that when we return with Dr. Frank Trace on the Front Porch. Today on the Front Porch, we're talking, one of my favorite topics, Kansas State Wildcats. And one of my favorite parts of the sporting events, the band. And Dr. Frank Trace has been so kind to give up time. I will explain, he was able to visit in person, and we do this interview because you're working with the Clay Center Community High School, Middle School, bands as a guest clinician this week.
And, absolutely.
I had a chance to sit with you and Danielle Thresher, as I mentioned, and it sounds like things have gone well.
Things have gone very well. CL's been there. Snodgrass's been there. We chatted a little bit and got to talk with him and worked with the high school band for 2 hours last night and 2 hours this morning, then the 8th grade band, the 7th grade band, and you know, it reminds me of my roots, and it's a good thing. And you know, I started laughing. I said, teaching a 7th grade band sometimes is no different than teaching a college band. Can't sit still, not paying attention, squirming around.
Right.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
And you've got a tie to one of the seniors in the Tiger band, and Jared Luttrell.
Yeah,
you know, his grandpa really was.
Grandpa's David Luttrell, the orchestra director, retired from K-State. Yeah, we're good buddies. It was
great.
Fun to see him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. So I mentioned something very exciting coming to K-State, and it's all about the band.
Yes.
You guys are going to have a home. I guess before we even talk about what this is going to be like, explain to our listeners what you've dealt with now for going on 3 decades.
You know what, coming here in 93, it's like people ask me lots of times, you know, like recruiting. When do you start recruiting? I said I started recruiting for Kansas State. I signed the contract, I think, in February of 1993, and I started recruiting. I haven't stopped since. Because it's not, you don't go out today and recruit for tomorrow. You start 93, you recruit for the future, and that's what we're doing.
Right.
You know, one of the first things I noticed when we got here is we didn't have a lot. Budget, equipment. Facilities were terrible.
Yeah.
Absolute worst facilities I've ever seen. I've been from, you know, in the Big Ten and going to Ohio State and Michigan State, Wisconsin, and facilities are what they're supposed to be. It's basic human needs and things, and we don't have that at Kansas State.
Right.
There's no room that we could fit the entire marching band in. We use McCain Auditorium. They're gracious enough to let us do that, and we appreciate that incredibly so. But if there's an event in there that night, which there is a lot, we can't be in there. And we used to go into All-Faith Chapel when the band was smaller, and that is still dangerous. Hearing-wise, the band is strong. And you get in All-Faith Chapel, those kids get excited because it's loud, and it's a hearing problem.
Sure.
We are stored, our equipment are stored in 4 or 5 different buildings in 9 or 10 different rooms. So, for instance, on a Friday night football game or going to a bowl game, you know, the truck starts a couple days before going here and there and picking stuff up. And then after the football game, it takes another day or so to put all the stuff back.
Right.
when we rehearse at Memorial Stadium, which is a great facility, you know, synthetic turf, lights, bathrooms, you know, running water, the basic human needs. But if it's going to storm or lightning, you know, I have a grad student and responsible for the weather. You know, I need a 20-minute warning before it hits, right. So we need to get out of here because it's going to take us that long to pack it up. And especially in thunderstorms with lightning, you got 32 tubas. You're walking across campus two or three blocks to put those things away in the lightning storm. That's dangerous.
Yeah.
And so there's no place for us to go. So you got kids that are taking those classes for credit. And if the weather is bad enough, we don't have any place to go, we cancel it. Many times we have to rent facilities for the Classy Cats, the Color Guard and Twirlers to practice and work on their choreography. So it's been woefully inadequate.
Right.
And it's been that way for a long time, not just in my tenure, but before that. And so I've been pushing this hard since I got here. We need a facility. We need to do something, and never gained any traction. For whatever reason, about a year ago, year and a half ago, it started to gain some traction. To be honest with you, I think Bill Snyder had a lot to do with that. A lot of the football fans and basketball fans that love the band had a tremendous amount to do with that. And we started a campaign. And in the last 6 months or so, we started a campaign to raise $5 million. To redo a Memorial Stadium, West Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
There's about, I think, 15,000 square feet in West Stadium right next to the Purple Mask Theater. That used to be dorms, used to be offices. That's all gutted now. It's a dirt floor. It's got to be 140, 150 degrees in there in the summertime. But we used that to store our ladders and things in there for rehearsals. But I looked in there and said, this would be great to redo. Make a long story short, it went through the administrative process up the ladder and it got approved all the way to the Board of Regents. And in the last 5 or 6 months, we've assisted the foundation and Gordon Dowell and people like that to raise $5 million. And in the last spring, this summer, and this fall, there's 23 major donors that have naming rights on the building.
Uh-huh.
I met with every one of them, traveled to their house, had dinner with them. Took them to breakfast, took them to lunch someplace and talked about what the need was and what they could do to help. And that's, you know, I still haven't wrapped my head around the fact that people are generous enough and love the band enough to give $50,000, $75,000, $125,000, $250,000, half a million, $1 million, $2 million. You asked me for $100, you need a stump, I'll give it to you right now. But I'm going to go home and sit down. What am I going to cut out this week?
How can I make this work? Right?
Yeah, how can I make this work? And
right.
And these people just love the band, and they're just band fans. None of them are former band members.
Huh. And that's
so
amazing.
Yeah, and we raised this money to build it. So we're in the architecture engineering stage right now. We're meeting again in 2 weeks to look at the time plan. They're talking about shovels in the dirt and starting this in February or March.
Wow.
And hopefully being in by next November, December, right in time for the bowl trip. It'll be a home for the entire marching band, all the basketball bands, the volleyball bands, the pub crawl bands. We're going to have mirrors on one of the walls so the Classy Cats, the Color Guards, and Twirlers can practice in there and do their routines, and because we don't have the drum line, could rehearse in there. The Kappa Psi, Tau Beta Sigma, the honorary fraternities and sororities of the band will meet in there and have their storage room. All the uniforms, all the instruments. You can tell I'm excited about
this. Yeah, well, you should be. Yeah.
All the uniforms, all the instruments, all the equipment. There'll be office space for the grad students. There'll be bathrooms. There'll be a director space. There'll be a memorabilia room with the Sudler Trophy in it and other things from the history of the band. A massive rehearsal hall inside with video screens so we can watch the performance. There'll be storage area for regular storage. The ramps coming out to the field, Memorial Field, there's steps right now. Those are going to be turned into a ramp all the way down with no stairs, no big bar in the middle of the door, and a taller door. So a tuba player and a bass drummer and a drummer could come out. And if you watch at the end of a football game now, at the end of the game, I'm on one fence and Alex Wimmer's at the other fence as the kids come by. We're grabbing the drums and the tubas as the kids walk by and counting the stairs. Three big ones. Three, two, one. You're there because you can't see in front
of
you. Sure. It's one thing to fall down the stairs.
I wouldn't have thought of that, but yeah.
Yeah, there's one thing to fall down the stairs. It's another thing to fall with a bass drum. I mean, pain in many different ways.
Oh, man, yeah.
So, you know, here we have no stairs and they could come right out. So it's a home. We've never had a home.
Right.
We've never had one place. So I told the band at the end of this bowl trip and we were packing up to come back. I said, just with a little luck and a little divine intervention, next year at this time, we're going to roll this truck up to the front of the band hall open up the big garage door, which is the window, put the ramp inside, unload it, and go home.
Yeah.
It's all going to be there. That is just phenomenal. Because right now, it doesn't happen. It's a dream come true. It's a career long. People said, when did you start working for this? And when did you guys start raising money for this? You know, the easy answer, the simple answer is we started this in long ago, but I started it in 93.
Yeah.
And to build up the rapport with donors, you just don't do that over a dinner or over lunch. That takes a long time. That takes a long, and they've seen the band. They know what the band does.
And they have an appreciation for it.
We have never said no to any band request.
Yeah.
Never. Huh. Never. Now, pep bands, we do charge a fee for that, but that goes right back in the scholarship for the kids that did the pep band.
Sure.
So win-win for everybody. So we've been supporting this. We've been promoting this. We've been setting the groundwork for this for three decades.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen.
Yeah. It's an exciting time. I'm very, very happy for you and for the program and for the students.
Yeah.
And it will be named.
This is the humbling part. It's going to be named the Trace Family Band Hall.
Right. And I know you have heard you interviewed or read your interview that Bill Snyder had a great deal of what name you would want on that because of how he handled the naming of Bill Snyder Family Stadium, right?
Yeah, I watched I watched Coach after games and watched him come up to the band and shake my hand and thank me for things and blow the band kisses and thank them and stuff. And that doesn't happen anywhere.
No.
And this is sincere.
Yeah.
And I watched him at his dedication and I watched the statue go up and I listened to him talk. And, you know, I completely understood what he was talking about. This is about his family, Bill Snyder family, his wife, his kids, his grandkids.
Yeah.
They all pay a price for this. Out of the last 30 Christmases, I've had six at home. And many of them been on a bus.
Yeah.
Having Christmas dinner on a curb in New Mexico someplace with 435 of my closest college
friends.
Right. Yeah. And that's all good. Not complaining. I've had a great life, great career. But it's a toll. I'm not home a lot.
For sure.
I'm not home a lot and doing things like here I am in a road here and hotel last night. I'm going to do this a lot and I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does take a toll on the family. And I think, you know, I agree with what Coach Snyder's been teaching us. And I asked him, I said, will it be okay? And he said, absolutely.
That's great.
So, you know, it needs to be that, I think.
It's perfect. Perfect, yeah. Frank, I can't thank you enough for taking time to come and visit with us. It's been a joy getting to meet you and getting to know you a little bit, talk sports with you. Someday we'll sit down over a beer and talk more about these things.
That would be great. Yes, that little restaurant today was fantastic.
There you go, yeah. We'll meet up there sometime.
All right, great.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Dr. Frank Trace, our guest on the front porch.